I'm your average action movie survivor. When I'm not busy trying to avoid massive superhero battles with people getting thrown through walls or dodging giant robots about to step on me, I'm listening to the Part-Time Fanboy podcast. Be sure to check out Part-Time Fanboy at parttimefanboy.com for somewhat weekly podcasts and reviews about various fanboy-related subjects. Also, be sure to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Do it now, because the Robopocalypse is coming!
Part-Time Fanboy. Fanboy.com.
This is Part-Time Fanboy. My name is Christian Horn, and I am on the line with Peter Cimetti, who is the owner and publisher, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
The owner and publisher of Alterna Comics, which is a comic company that I have been very interested in as of late, because I think I noticed you on Twitter. I don't know if you followed me or I followed you. I don't usually go on Twitter a lot. I don't know. Twitter's like not my thing. I don't know. Whatever. But I noticed your tweets, so it's working for you. And I've noticed that your comic company is very much into, well, I was discussing with a friend of mine, Joshua Henneman, who does a book called Bigfoot, Sword of the Earthman. He had kind of retweeted one of your tweets, and it had something to do with like your comics costing like $1.50 each or $1.99 each, somewhere around there. We're talking like late 90s, early 2000 pricing. And that sort of got my attention at first. And then kind of when I dug deeper a little bit and I was talking to him, he was like, oh yeah, this guy is doing stuff. I was like, well, how's he doing comics that cheaply? And he goes, yeah, he's going back to newsprint. And I was like, what? I couldn't believe it. And which is something that I've advocated for a very, 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 very long time. Anybody who would listen to me, any of my friends, any comic nerds, comic shop owners, I would be like, why are we not going back to the newsprint? It seems like it would cost less and costs would be less and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that is where you sort of like got onto my radar, where I was very much. And then, you know, I went in and checked out your website and you've got like hashtag, what is it? Hashtag back to newsprint or
bringing newsprint. Yep.
Bring back newsprint, which I remember at Comic-Con like several years ago, I would see people walking around with t-shirts like saying bring back newsprint or back to newsprint or return to newsprint and stuff like that. Obviously making a commentary on how much comic books kind of have, how much of how they've come to cost, which kind of puts off like a lot of weekly readers. Correct. I mean, that's my take
on
it.
You know, it's one of the reasons. It's definitely not the whole reason, but it does part. So I think the paper really plays a part with it. I think the pricing plays a part with it. They kind of go hand in hand for us, especially. They really go hand in hand because in terms of an indie publisher, we're not necessarily paying page rates. So it's not like Marvel or DC where you pay page rates to, a creative team.
Yeah.
This is indie. This is creator owned. So in order to give the creator the freedom to kind of tell their story and harness their vision, we can't really do a page rate scenario, but we do offer a pretty generous profit split because it's like 80-20.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's one of the highest, if not the highest, in the industry. So, you know, we recoup costs on the print run, and then they get, you know, an 80-20 profit split. And then they also, if it turns into a film or they want to do a t-shirt or they want to do even posters or anything, they keep 100% of that. We don't see any of that. We just want to do the publishing. So it could be pretty lucrative. I mean, if it is a big name creator, let's say, if they've got stuff they want to, you know, catapult and they want to really market it well and merchandise it, they can keep all of that. So it's something that we do at Alterna, and I'm happy to do it because all we really care about is getting the book out there.
Wow. So let me just get this straight. If I understand, you're saying that the creator walks away with 80% of what the comic makes, like the profit that the comic makes?
Yes, that's correct.
That's amazing. I'm sorry, we're so jumping into the nitty gritty like early on, because I want to ask you about your company and your books and it looks like you've got like a lot of interesting stuff on your site and on Amazon and stuff that that I was clicking through. But I mean, that's amazing. That seems like you guys might be sort of undercutting yourselves in some way. Is there any truth to that sort of assumption that I'm making?
I guess maybe in some ways we can do that because I pretty much do a lot at Alterna, if not almost all of it.
Uh-huh.
So the marketing, the graphic design, the web design, all that stuff, the Twitter managing, the Facebook managing, all that, I handle all of that. So that's a big part of it. Why I don't really do a lot of books nowadays. Uh-huh. Is because I just kind of do all the publishing stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, that's fine. But when people ask, oh, when's your next book coming out? I'm like, honestly, I don't really know. I just really do a lot of freelance stuff now in terms of art. I don't really have too much time anymore to dedicate towards creating books. But that's fine because I like seeing a lot of people's stuff grow and helping to get people's work out there. So I find fulfillment with that. So, I mean, it's not really like I'm expecting anyone to feel bad about that, but it's like that's the reason why it takes up a lot of time, and because of that, we can keep the profit split the way it is, and I'm happy to do so because creators deserve as much as possible.
Yeah, wow, that's a really good, you know, way to look at it, I guess. What's interesting to me is, I mean, you just said, when is your next book coming out? You're not talking about Alterna Comics. You're talking about your own personal work, correct?
Yeah, personally, yeah, my own work, yep.
Yeah, yeah, because you are also a creator. I mean, I looked you up and you have you do have some credits on the comic book database, comicbookdb.com.
wrong.
What's that? I'm sorry?
Half of them are wrong.
Oh, are they really? Well, yeah, that's the internet for you.
It is what it is.
Yep. But you're also what, a writer, an artist, all that good stuff, or?
Yeah, writer, artist, letterer, you know, all that stuff. Most of the time, what I do now is I'm focusing on stuff with the chair, which just got released for the first time in single issue format. Even though it's been out as a graphic novel for almost, I think, 8 or 9 years, uh-huh. It was never mass distributed as a single issue thing. So it's kind of almost like a reverse thing. Usually you'd put out the single issues and then you'd do the graphic novel. But with a lot of books at Alterna, we mostly just did graphic novels for almost 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And the newsprint plays a big part into that because I personally didn't want to put out single issues and focus on single issues because I didn't really like the idea of comics at $4 a piece. And that's what it would have been for us to make, honestly, for us to probably split hairs over 50 cents a piece.
Oh, wow.
Because after distribution, after shipping, after everything is taken into account, you know, that's what you're looking at in terms of the costs. Comics also didn't feel like comics to me. I mean, I grew up, I'm only 33. It's not like I'm like 50 years old and everyone's always thinking, oh, you must be old. So that's why you like newsprint.
I'm pushing 45. So let's relax with the old talk. That's okay. That's okay. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
But that's what I get. I don't think 50 is old, but that's what I get. You know, I get people coming up to me saying that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, is that if anyone read comics at all in the 80s and 90s, even you read them on newsprint still.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could be 25 and you grew up and your first comics could have been newsprint still from you know, someone maybe had them, an older brother or a sister or something. And so a lot of people grew up with that. You know, it's only very recent in terms of the readership, mm-hmm. that it just everything's not newsprint.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, comics and newsprint are synonymous. I like the way comics look when they're on newsprint. I like that they lay flat. I like that they're light. I like that the paper has texture to it. I like, you know, the way the color plays off of it. Everything about it is comics to me.
Yeah.
So we couldn't really do that at first because we couldn't find a newsprint printer that would do less than 25,000. And if anyone knows what comic sales are like, you hear 25,000 and you think, oh, that should, you know, be easy to do.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I mean, 25,000 is a moderate hit at Marvel or DC.
Yeah.
That's kind of how bad it's been. Usually indies, it's like you're jumping up and down if you hit 2,000.
Oh, wow.
So, So, because of that, and because distribution is just not what it is, we just couldn't do that. It just didn't make any sense to. So we switched over to graphic novels, and we were doing that. We've had some success there. We've had a New York Times bestseller with FUBAR, Empire Rising of the Dead.
Oh, wow.
And even my own, The Chair, got adapted for film.
Yeah,
and that's
going to
be coming. Yep. So we've had a lot of hits here and there, and grew a fan base of people, and they've been used to the graphic novel stuff. So some of them are thinking, well, why putting them into, you know, the single issues? Why would you do that? And we found over the years that graphic novel readers and single issue readers are two separate groups of people for the most part.
Yeah.
So there's a whole group of people that are now discovering us for the first time because of single issues.
Yeah.
So it's funny when someone's like, oh, you know, the Chair, I just found out about it now. Like, what an awesome new story. And I'm thinking like, oh, that's really funny because it's like 8 to 9 years old.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see so many people discovering Alterna for the first time, even though we've been around. This is our 11th year. So it's kind of cool the way single issues have managed to reach a new market for us.
Wow. That's pretty amazing because you said like 10, 11 years. I mean, honestly, these tweets and this, you know, coverage the past couple of, you know, months or so is the first time I've ever heard of the company. And again, mm-hmm. it caught my attention because of the newsprint thing. And it's interesting. You did say something about newsprint like a second ago, that it was hard for you to find a publisher who would do newsprint under a certain amount. And I actually saw a debate on Facebook. I can't remember where it was or what group it was or whatever. And a couple of people were saying like, oh, you can't go back to newsprint because the print shops or the printers, nobody will print it anymore. Like the machines aren't built for it or whatever and stuff like that. So I wanted to ask you, I mean, possibly go more into detail. How did you make the decision? And then B, like, where do you have to go to the ends of the earth? Like, where are you getting your comics printed up?
For whatever reason, this year was a shifting of the gears in terms of how to think about what newsprint was like, because newsprint's everywhere. I mean, newsprint's grocery circulars, newsprint is, you know, free flyers at any kind of restaurants, got like little stuff out there. I mean, newsprint is still everywhere. I mean, newspapers are still obviously newsprint. So even though it's not as quite as where it used to be in terms of comic books, it's still everywhere, and there's still printers that definitely use newsprint in abundance. And it kind of clicked with me that I was thinking, you know, newsprint still has to be crazy cheap because everything that's for free is still on newsprint. If premium paper was super cheap, all those little free things would have just, you know, been on a premium paper, because why not? It looks better.
That's a good point. Yeah. You know?
So with that mindset, I was thinking, you know what, I'm going to try to see what press exactly prints on newsprint, because we used to use an offset press, and that's usually a sheet fed system. So it can't really take the thin paper stock of newsprint because it'll destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll literally get torn and gum up the whole rollers and everything. So once I started looking into that, and like I said, I don't know why it just clicked all of a sudden this year to think like that. We found that we had to look for a web press, which is, it's a whole different way of printing as opposed to offset sheet fed.
Mm-hmm.
And once we went down that road, we really started to find newsprint printers.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, the way that they can print now, they can do runs of 1,000, and it's relatively cost effective. I think the technology probably changed along the time from when we were looking about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so now we're doing runs between, I'd say probably between 5,000 to 7,000 total, because we've got newsstand coming out too. So we kind of gang them together.
Stuff on a newsstand or did it?
Yeah, we've got stand coming out at the end of July.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So anyway, go on with what you were saying, and then I want to get back to that. So
yeah. So with the printer,
my mind with all this, but anyway, go ahead. It's like the 80s all over again. Go ahead. Sorry, I keep interrupting you.
with the printer, we found actually like 5 or 6 printers that could do comic books on newsprint. It's all a matter of them having the right cover stock that we were looking for and the ability to cut it to size. Because some of them, they have very set. You can only get like a 8.5 by 11 or a tabloid size for an actual newspaper, or you could do, you know, the magazine size.
Oh, I see.
So that was basically the biggest hurdle, just finding who's got the right cover stock combined with who's got the machinery that can cut them to size. And once we found, I think we found 2 or 3 printers that could really do it well. There's probably more of them out there, but we had such a good experience with the one in particular that we're using now, that we're really not really in the business to keep on looking. Yeah. The cost is about a third of what it would be if we did the print runs at the same size. Okay. So that's why the print cost is also lower. And then we also sell advertising in the books. So for the most part, we're looking at, I think the 5,000 to 7,000 run generally costs after we put advertising into it, maybe like $500-$600.
What?
So yeah. Yeah.
Wait, repeat what you just said. Did I just zone out? You have to repeat that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So with the advertising that we've got in the books, and we're sold out until I think October or November, but we've got stuff sold into next year as well. With the advertising on the books, a 5,000 to 7,000 run is generally costing us between $500 to $600 after shipping. So that's with shipping included.
Get out of town. What did you just like crack the magic form? You just got the golden ticket or something.
I mean,
and
you
that's
know,
color?
Yeah, full color. Yep. The black and white's only substantially less. It's only maybe about like $100 less.
Wow. Holy cow. That's amazing. I mean, you must have fallen out of your chair when you got those numbers in.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I mean, we're doing print runs that I've never seen print runs this high. You know, in total, we send maybe 4 or 5 books to press, and we're doing print runs at like 24,000, 25,000 total. So to see all of that together, plus you get a little bit of a discount when you do them all together and you do more jobs. But it's like once you hit that 1,000 mark, every 1,000 is like $100 more. So it's really, it turns into next to nothing as long as you've got some of the numbers there.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. I'm still having a hard time like recovering from that statement. I mean, because one of the things, obviously, I mean, you know, not that you would know anything about me, but one of the things is like, obviously everyone's into comics. Everyone wants to create their own comics. And then you look at the cost of what it costs to print, make, you know, whatever, ship. And that can be like very disheartening to a lot of people. Like it can be very like, oh my God. Like I remember when I found out what the cost for just printing like a color like zine sort of thing versus a black and white thing, I was astounded as to the difference of cost. But what you're talking about is like upending everything that I kind of knew beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, I've seen lots of conversations from people saying that newsprint is actually more expensive now.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of things like that. It's one of those, you know, I used to kind of think that too, because that's all you really will find, because some of the printers are trying to mimic newsprint. So it will be more money on a sheet fed because that's the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
But on a web press, it's always going to be pretty cost effective because newsprint, it just is cheaper. It's just, there's no other way to say it. It's just, it's a cheaper quality paper. I mean, it's obvious that it should be less money. Mm-hmm. But you know, for whatever reason, before it used to have to do these big print runs, and now the technology's made it easier. I hope that people kind of maybe go to newsprint, even if it's just indie. But who knows? Because I know a lot of publishers want to keep charging the $3.99 and things like that. And I mean, I certainly couldn't justify it. I wouldn't want to see a $3.99 newsprint book. But you know, you never know, maybe even $2.99 or $1.99. But for us, it felt like it made the most sense to pass on the savings to the retailers and the readers. And also, you know, it helps to get more people into the stuff, and they can take a chance on it. And if a book's $1.50 and you're like, oh, that was all right, I'll see what the next one's like.
Yeah.
You know, you get that you get the story, get the chance to breathe a bit, where if something's $4 or $5 an issue and you're not in love with it, it's really hard to commit. So, you know, that's where we're at right now with comics. And unfortunately, we're feeling the effects of it. So
yeah,
hopefully that changes.
Yeah. Okay, so I got to backtrack a little bit because my mind is kind of reeling with everything. It's, you know, it's like you just turned on a color television set for the first time. And I'm like, what is that? or like, you know, somebody turned on the jazz singer and sound just came through the microphones. And I'm like, no, this does not equate. Question. So you are selling these through comic shops, right?
Yes. And we're distributed with Diamond. I mean, we've been distributed with Diamond for like 8-9 years. So.
Yeah. But with the newsprint stuff, you are. I mean, that stuff's going to come. Because that was one of the things that caught my attention. I think I saw like a price on a book was like $1.50. And I was like, what? You know, and so my question to you is Diamond, are retailers... like, are comic shops, like, because where my imagination goes is if you're selling something for $1.50 at a comic shop and somebody else is selling something for $5 at a comic shop, right? Which is what I saw like a couple of weekends ago. I went to a comic shop and I was looking at some of the titles and they've gotten up to like $4.99 for like a pamphlet book. Does the comic shop make more money off of the $5 book than he does off of the $1.50 book? Or like, have you seen any resistance to comic shops being like, I don't want to carry this because I won't get a chunk of the action like I might get off of like whatever, Superman versus Batman, whatever, you know, whatever book. Have you seen any pushback from that? Or is everyone just like, oh, wow, I'm fine with this because I get a decent chunk. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, I've seen a little bit of pushback, but I got to be honest. I'll tell you, it's probably like 2 or 3 out of every 100 retailers.
Oh wow!
It's not that big of a pushback, and I mean the points are valid. I understand that, you know, it's $1.50 book or whatever, but the thing is that I hate it when someone, and we had this with one retailer, they compared, okay, well, I can get more of Marvel or DC and they'll give me a bigger price break and that makes my profit margin higher than selling your book.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you know, I don't compare your sales to Amazon, so why are you comparing me to Marvel and DC?
Interesting.
So it's one of those things of it's apples and oranges. I mean, if you want to compare Alterna to like Black Mask or, you know, a similar level publisher, that's fine. You know, you can say that, but at the same time though, it does cost more of a risk to get that book in. Mm-hmm. So you could easily just order 2 alternate titles, you know, and you sell at least just one of them, you made your money.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of thing where it's less risk. It's less risk to your consumer, your customer.
Yeah.
And it's also something that it's a new product. It's a new line. Yeah. You're going to get people interested in something new. Anything that does that is great. I mean, use these books as add-ons. You know, it's really easy to just be like, check out this book. It's a good book. It's just $1.50.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's super, super easy. Whereas it's a lot harder to be like, oh, this book's really good, but it's $5.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Someone's like, well, you know, I don't know the creator or I don't know the publisher or yeah, it looks good, but you know, it's $5 more. And then you get someone thinking, well, what if I really like the book? Then I got to do $5 more every time.
Yeah.
Until I stop liking the book. And then how much am I invested in already that like, maybe I'll just continue. So you get like all those thought processes that happen when that occurs.
Sure.
But here we've got books. I mean, The Chair, for instance, that's $1 an issue and it's a 4-issue series.
Wow.
You get the whole thing for $4. That's basically the cost of one issue at pretty much every other publisher. So, you know, that doesn't really happen that much anymore, if ever. I know there's dollar issues that happen all the time. But it's usually the first issue is $1 and then the next issue it goes up to whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is the first issue is what it is, and so is the second and the third and the fourth and whatever it is that miniseries is. So a lot of these you can get the whole story for like $6 or less. That just doesn't really happen. So, you know, a lot of people are into that.
Well, this is interesting because I'm looking at, you know, I'm looking at your webpage right now, your website, and then I'm also looking at Amazon. And you just said I could get all four issues of The Chair for $4 from, I'm assuming, a comic shop, right? I could say to the comic shop, I want to order The Chair from Alterna Comics. They would bring it in. And but on Amazon, the paperback's going for like $16. So are you undercutting yourself? I mean, like, you know, it seems like the trade...
Yeah, we're sticking to the premium paper stuff for the trade because gotcha. To me, the trades, graphic novels, they should last a hell of a lot longer than you'd want, you know, the comic book. And they should also take a little bit more of a beating. They should be a little more durable because the likelihood that, you know, a comic book, you can sit down, read it and be done with it. But a trade tends to, you know, people bring it with them. People will read it just more than, you know, you're going to sit there with the book in your hand more than you would a comic book. Sure. So it should be built for that. And so we're keeping them built at that, but we're also this year we're focusing on getting pricing down to stay at like $9.95 for trades. Wow. So this way it's still, you know, it's still a little more than the single issues, but you get that paper upgrade and you get the story in one shot. And like I said before, I mean, we found that there's single issue people and there's graphic novel trade people.
Yeah.
So the two, it hardly ever kind of crosses. It's really rare. But with this kind of thing, where the single issues are so cheap, if you really enjoyed the whole thing and you want to get the graphic novel, you could be like, well, I only spent like $5 getting all the single issues. The graphic novel is like 10. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you're like, okay, I'll get both, you know? So it's that kind of a thought process that used to happen all the time in comics. You know, you'd collect your arc of single issues. And then you're like, well, I want to take care of them. I just kind of want to leave them in the bag and board and they're not to rereading.
Yeah.
So I'll get the collection. I'll get the trade. And that used to happen all the time. Yeah. I'm not so sure how much it happens now, because if you do that now and then you get the trade, I mean, you're spending probably like $50 total.
So
that's rough. I mean, at least for me, I view it as that's rough. I don't know how everybody else feels about it, but if sales are any indication and
it's
market,
definitely rough. I'm with you. It's rough. Yeah.
So, you know, this is something that we're trying to just think, you know, we just want people to read the books. We want people to get them and enjoy them. And it's not like it used to be where the market just relies solely on single issues. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got the trades, we've got graphic novels, we've got digital sales, we've got, you know, all that kind of stuff in terms of making money back. So it's not like the single issues. And then if they don't do a killing, we're completely at a loss, you know, and then plus we're selling advertising. So it's like on top of that, you know, we're still cutting into how much risk we're taking on. So, you know, all those things combined, it's nice to see that people are on board with them and that they've been really loving them. So it's nice to see that. And I mean, it's nice to see retailers as well being really excited about them, because, you know, most retailers that open up a comic shop, if not every one of them, they love comics, right? Sure. And then they opened up a shop because they grew up reading newsprint books. And they remember what that was like and a different time of comics. And so our stuff kind of has a nostalgia factor for them as well.
Yeah.
So it makes it exciting for them to talk about it. Yeah. So I think that kind of stuff has really worked as well.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, and the advertising, like, I mean, I just remember advertising in old Marvel comics being like X-ray specs and do you get your face kicked in, just the sand kicked in your face by bully, like on the beach? Like, I mean, the advertising is helping you pay for these books. Like, I mean, generally who advertises in your books? Like what kind of,
I mean, we've got people, from self-publishers to ultra pro that are taking out. So we've got the gamut of big companies to the little guy. And the thing is, the little guy can afford it because a quarter page ad is only like $20-$25.
What?
So
yeah. Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Ultra Pro right now, I'm talking to them about potentially re-upping on their advertising because they really enjoyed working with us. They like the ads and the books, and it's $200 for a back cover. Plus you get like a 20% discount when you get 10 or more. So they're just, where the hell are they getting the deal? They're just telling me, you know, that's a crazy deal. We can't say no to that. Yeah. So it's nice that, you know, even on that level, we get to put people's ads in the books. I mean, like I said, anyone from a company to the little guy that's just like us. And that's pretty awesome. I mean, to see your ad technically in 5,000 to 7,000 issues of something, and it's got, like, you know, it's going to go to newsstand and things like that. And I mean, I don't even know who else is doing that. I don't think anyone's doing a print ad for $20.
No,
so.
Not at all. Holy cow. I may want to advertise my site in your comic books. I mean, that's a steal. That's like, how do you not take somebody up on that?
I mean, I've tried. I've got lots of, you know, friends, obviously, in indie comics, and I've tried to tell them, like, guys, get in on this because that's an awesome deal. And, you know, some of them are kind of leery about doing advertising and things like that. But, I mean, that's if your book isn't in a comic shop, especially, getting an ad in one of our books is like getting your book in a comic shop, because now you can actually go and be like, hey, comic shop guy, this is my book. It's in this comic. You know, yeah. It gives you instant validation of, like, you know, these guys believe in it. They put the ad in the book, and, you know, look, it's everywhere. So just stuff like that, it's kind of cool to see and help creators out as well. And we're not against putting in, I mean, I don't really view an indie comic creator or a company as being competition to us, because it's the nature of the beast. I mean, everyone's making what they're making, and that's how it is. And I view it as, you know, more people read comics, the better. So yeah. there's enough people for all the comics in the world. If anything, that's kind of sad that right now the distribution of it is what it is, because it should be in the hands of more people. But unfortunately, that's not what it is right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me shift gears a little bit, because I feel bad because I'm like, you know, drilling you about pricing and all this, like, you know, inside baseball stuff. But a lot of this, I'm looking at a lot of the books, or I'm looking at the covers for a lot of the books, and it really looks like quality work. That's the other thing that I noticed. I mean, this is not, I mean, you know, you go to conventions and you know, sometimes you get like indie publishers or whatever, and you're like, okay, yeah, this is not such great work. And maybe, like, one of my things has always been, and one of the reasons I don't go to Comic-Cons as much as I have in the past, like, I don't go to San Diego, is because my big joke is, like, it's literally like taking a heroin addict in, like, the late 80s in New York City and dropping him into a crack house in the Bronx. Like, I will go and I want to support, like, all these indie books, and I will blow so much cash. You know what I mean? Like, and then you come home and you actually kind of, you know, look at the book and you're like, yeah, that wasn't great, but I wanted to support somebody, guilt trip, whatever. Maybe I'm a little bit like Woody Allen or something. You know, I don't know, the neurosis of comic collecting. But the thing is, despite whatever my hangups are, I am looking at the covers of your books, and it looks like really quality stuff. Can you talk about some of them? Because a lot of this stuff, I mean, I know you mentioned The Chair. That looks like, that's your own book, correct? Which you did. And and you split that up into 4 issues, correct?
Yep. The Chair, it's a death row psychological horror thriller. Kevin Christensen did the pencils on the book, and I did the writing and the lettering and the digital inking back in the day with a mouse.
Oh, wow.
yeah. So it was a fun thing to work on at the time. I don't even know if I would want to do that again. I don't know how I did it to begin with.
Yeah, with a mouse.
that one's a good one if people like suspense and horror and stuff like that. We've got Mother Russia is a really good one as well. It's like an action horror
really good,
takes
yeah.
place. Yeah, in World War II with zombies and things like that. Nice. Lilith Dark is a fun one that's kind of like mixing like Conan the Barbarian with Alice in Wonderland and Where the Wild Things Are. So it's kind of got those vibes.
Is that like an all ages kind of book, or is it?
Yeah, all ages book. Yep.
Oh, cool.
And all of these books too that are all ages, Lilith Dark, Adam Wreck, and Amazing Age, and Mr. Crypt is coming out as well. They've also got stuff for adults as well. It's not like the all ages stuff of today, where a lot of it, I find a lot of all ages books talk down to kids today. They kind of make kids feel like kids, and I don't know about what kids are thinking now, but I mean, if kids are like the way we were, no kid wants to feel like a little kid. You know, they want to feel like they're big and grown up too, even though they're obviously not.
Yeah.
So, you know, all these books kind of force children to think in that kind of way of not just, you know, handling a situation like a child, but also, you know, giving that sense of danger and that sense of excitement that you would get from a story that maybe isn't necessarily just tailored towards children. So adults can get something out of the books too, which is nice.
Yeah.
Did
you guys
do Kill All Monsters?
We did that a couple of years ago.
I supported then, that on Kickstarter. That was a great book.
Yeah, and then Jason and Brian, they got Michael and Jason. Michael and Jason, they got the offer from Dark Horse.
And oh, I'm so sorry.
Guys, yeah, I was like, you guys gotta go. I'm not gonna hold you back. I mean, that's awesome. So
yeah,
you know, that's what happened there. And that's fine. I mean, it was an amicable split and I still keep in touch with them. So it's not like there's any hard feelings there. I'm definitely not going to sugarcoat things and say, oh, Alterna is just as big as Dark Horse and Image. Like, what are you guys doing?
I'm not,
if that happens for a creator, that's great. So, I'm happy for them and I hope the book continues to do well.
Well, I hope I didn't step on a sore spot with that or anything.
No, definitely not.
But if anything, it speaks to the quality of what you guys are publishing, because Kill All Monsters was something I saw on Kickstarter and I was like, yeah, I'm going to support that. And when it finally came out, it was an awesome book.
Yeah, it was great. You know, I'm glad that it was here for even a short time. And I mean, it was nice to work with them, and I've got nothing but good things to say.
Yeah. What about some of this other stuff, Monstrosity, Fubar. It looks like you guys are into horror and zombies too.
Yeah, we tend to gravitate, I guess, towards some edgier material for the most part, especially when it comes to the graphic novel stuff. Fubar has always done well for us. Mother Russia is a spinoff of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, even right now, Fubar's got a Kickstarter going for All-Star Fubar, which is kind of like a zombies throughout history, no time period is being, you know, hold down to. So it's kind of interesting and it's I think it's like double its goal at this point. Like I think 16,000.
Oh, I'm gonna have to look that up.
Yeah, it's a good one and it's gonna come out with us. It's gonna come out next spring.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so Jeff McComsey's doing that right now. He does all the Fubar stuff. He does Mother Russia as well. So yeah, I mean we got tons of books. We got books for everybody. I mean there's nothing at Alterna that, you know, you might not read every book we do, even though some people do, but you could definitely find something. So there's no reason to just think, oh, well, you know, I didn't like, let's say someone didn't like The Chair. There's no reason to think that, you know, you couldn't find something else at Alterna that you'd like, because we've got all kinds of stuff.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's something like Image or Boom or Dark Horse or something like that. They don't just print one kind of comic. Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, that's really... Just talk to me a little bit about this newsstand thing going on, because that sounds... I mean, I know that Marvel made a little bit of news with making, you know, these Spider-Man digests available, like, in supermarkets, you know, again, and that was kind of like, wow, what are you doing? And it was really weird, because I think I also read that some comic fans were, like, upset about that, and I was like, why? Why would you be... But it's... You were saying that you're actually going to be on newsstands, and there are newsstands to put comics on still these days? I mean, maybe it's because I live in LA and we drive everywhere. I don't really see newsstands anymore.
Yeah, nowadays, everything that is, you know, where magazines are found, that's considered a newsstand. So any 7-Eleven, any convenience store, any Target, Barnes & Noble, like anyone that's selling a magazine, it's considered a newsstand. So right now we've got something kind of tailored towards areas that don't necessarily have comic shops in the vicinity. So we're trying to get into those markets. It's going to be in, if I understood correctly from the distributor, it's going to be in about 300 different Barnes & Noble and Books A Million stores. It's going to be in a bunch of different specialty stores and convenience stores and some supermarkets and things like that. So it's like a test market thing right now. But hopefully it does, you know, even decently, because then we can grow from that. And it's something that I think comics definitely need to branch out. I mean, it can't just be in a comic shop and that's the only place you'll find a comic, because unfortunately there's a lot of people that don't have access to comic shops. And I mean, I know they can order online, but it's not the same kind of thing. And it's also really difficult to find something new online. It's very tough unless you want to spend hours of research just to find a new comic book to read.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to figure out, you know, something that could take 2 minutes in a comic shop. It's difficult to do that online.
Yeah.
So, you know, just seeing stuff and seeing comics in places where they used to be that, but they're no longer. I mean, right now comics are everywhere in terms of the characters and merchandise and all that stuff. Like Funko Pops are everywhere. You know, it shouldn't be easier to get Funko Pop than it is to get a comic book.
That's true.
So, you know, it's just the way it is right now, but something's got to give. And we were thinking, you know what, comic books are basically magazines. Let's look into who distributes magazines and try to get with them. And we're lucky enough that we got picked up by PDG, and they do a lot of specialty market stuff with a lot of different music magazines and specialty magazines and things like that. So it kind of fits well with what we're doing because it's not People magazine. It's not something that's international and has millions of you know, on a print run. Uh-huh. It's something that, you know, it's a smaller thing, but it gets to more places that it'll have a more a bigger impact. So that's kind of what we want. And hopefully people find them. And once they're out there, I mean, that'd be really cool to see comics in a place that's not just a comic shop anymore.
Yeah, it would. So these will be at that price point, like $1.99 or less?
Yeah. These will all be the same everything. The same. I think the only thing that changes is the barcode because Newsstand has to have a different system.
Yeah.
But the price is still the same. It's still going to be $1.50. If it's in a comic shop, it's $1.50 on Newsstand. The only difference is that Newsstand will get the books 2 months after a comic shop does.
Oh, gotcha.
So it should work nice where if someone finds the first issue and they really don't want to wait, or they want to now discover more things at a comic shop or get the second issue, they could actually just go right to the comic shop and pick up issue two. And so it kind of has a nice benefit for the comic shop retailer as well, because they also get a 2 month time frame to sell through what they have, as opposed to competing with a newsstand market.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. I mean, the way that this is like a whole other way of doing things. Or, I mean, you guys are sort of like the publisher that, I mean, if this all works out or is working out, or you guys are doing well, I mean, it's the, you guys are sort of the publisher that a lot of us have kind of been waiting for. Because, I mean, a lot of the reason that, you know, I'm a little bit older than you know, whatever, I have a family, I have, you know, job, blah, 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 you know, that sort of thing, you know, with a lot of things that others do. But a lot of the reasons that we get chased away from comics is quite honestly the price. You know, I mean, there was a day where I swore I would never not be there every Wednesday. You know, I was like, I'm going to do this forever. I love comics. I'll die for comics or whatever. And then after a while, the prices just kept going up and going up. And it just becomes kind of unsustainable. You have to sort of either withdraw to the trade or go to digital, or, you know, you just can't keep going week after week after week and dropping like hundreds of dollars on comic books. I mean, I'm sorry, I love them as much as the next person. But the one thing that I find interesting is, or that I wanted to ask you, you know, on top after making that comment, is I would hope that the all ages stuff would be the stuff that you might be pushing more on newsstands, because that sort of seems to be the barrier point against a lot of parents buying comics for the kids. Like a little kid runs up with a floppy and goes like, "Daddy, mommy, can I have this?" to somebody who's not already a comic fan, and they look at it and they're like, "I'm not paying $5 for that." You know what I mean? But if it's $1.50, if it's $1.99, the parent will go, "Oh yeah, that's a really good deal. Look at that." You know what I'm saying? So I hope that that's kind of what you're pushing on the newsstand in a way.
Yeah. Right now it looks like we have double the orders for the all ages stuff. So it looks like just naturally, that's kind of what Newsstand gears towards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's great to see. And that's something that we want to put out there as well. That's why we're also doing all ages books, because, you know, we could just do more mature titles and things like that. But it's great to just be able to offer something fun for kids and also something that's inexpensive for their parents, because not only is $5 a lot for an adult, but it's a lot to go, okay, here's a $5 comic. Yeah. And you just give it over to a kid who's, you know, I mean, I still have comics from when I was a kid, and they're drawn in and they're torn up and they're, you know, you know, they're all intents and purposes, they're worthless. I can't put them on eBay. They're worth to me, sentimental reasons.
Yeah.
But you know, the kid's gonna do all kinds of stuff, and they're just kids. That's the way they take care of stuff. So, you know, with $150 instead of $5, I mean, you can get all the books, and it's still going to be like $450. You can get like all the all ages books, and it's just going to be less than $5. So
that's fantastic.
It makes it easy. It makes it something that's fun. Also, you know, where you want to get a birthday gift for a kid, you can get a kid a comic now. You know, you don't have to just go through the dollar bin anymore, and then just hope that maybe they'll like, you know, Spider-Man 300 or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that it's new. It's something exciting. It's something maybe they never seen before. And honestly, I haven't seen one kid ever when I do these signings. We did a free comic book day signing, and kids couldn't put the things down. So, you know, the parents had to literally take them away out the store, and the kid is still buried in the comic. So it's awesome to see every one of them like that. So that's great, you know, and it's nice that we can have something like that for kids. And it's just something that, I mean, when we all grew up with comics, you could just read, you know, superhero stuff and know that it was fine for kids.
Yeah.
That's obviously not the case anymore.
No.
I would love to see graphic novels mostly maintain, you know, since they got a higher price point, they should also have, you know, that basis of aiming it towards an adult who can afford the graphic novel. Sure. Whereas the single issue should be a little bit cheaper, and it should be, you know, aimed towards the readership of, you know, being accessible for everyone. It doesn't necessarily have to just speak down or be childish. I mean, there's so many intense storylines, like even thinking about like Batman and X-Men and things like that, that as kids you'd read it and you'd be so immersed, and it'd be intense and edgy and everything, and an adult could get something out of it as well and really enjoy it, but a child would also enjoy it and get excitement out of reading. And that's something that comics used to be so great at, but unfortunately the readership is growing, and as creators we tend to focus just on talking to the people that are our age. So, you know, even my book, The Chair, it's 17 plus, you know, but at the same time, as a publisher, I don't want to just put out 17 plus books.
Sure.
You know, I want to have a variety. So, you know, it's great to see so much variety out there, but at the same time, again, like they need to be in more places, and they can't just be at a comic shop. It's a lot of burden, I think, also to place on the comic shop, where they're the only place that's supposed to basically bear the whole industry on their back.
Yeah.
I mean, these are small business guys. These aren't, you know, it's not Target and the whole place is comics.
Sure.
It's a small business. So it's like, that's tough, because there's like 400 comics that come out every month. I think there was maybe 50 that came out every month when I started reading.
Yeah.
It's crazy to see that comics are so, there's so many of them now, but in terms of the stores that carry them, it's smaller than ever before. I mean, something's got to give with that. And the internet just can't be the answer for that, even though it's kind of becoming that with Kickstarter. I mean, there's people that just, they don't do distribution at all. They just have a Kickstarter and that's all they do.
Yeah.
Because distribution has become, you know, it's almost pointless, because you're like, well, I can just kind of reach who I got to reach and make the money I have to make anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't really need to go through distribution. And, you know, I get what they're saying, but at the same time, that means that you don't continue to grow the audience. And if you don't grow the audience, you don't grow creators to make comics. So comics eventually die out. You know, it's kind of that kind of thing of where we're going. And that's it's kind of sad. So hopefully something gives and something changes, and if people like our books, that's great.
Well, what's your take on, because there's been a lot of rumors and speculation, you know, for a little while now, as far as another sort of like implosion happening. I mean, do you see events sort of like heading in that sort of general direction?
You know, it's something that I gotta say, I really hope the movies don't start ever turning on people. Mm-hmm. Because if the movies were to implode, like let's say a string of, and I mean DC had a couple of bad ones that it looked really scary there for a little bit until Wonder Woman came along and everyone obviously loves that one.
Yeah, yeah. But
if it's a string like that, and let's say, you know, if Marvel misses the beat with a couple things, and especially if it's the bigger ones or something comes out that just makes the movies lose favor with the public, uh-huh. that could really be a death blow to comics, because that's kind of all that's really keeping the industry afloat right now.
You think so? You think that comics, yeah. you think that the movies are dragging people towards the comics?
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, when you look at the sales numbers between Marvel and DC, they still have like 80% of the market share.
Yeah.
Almost on a monthly basis, past the top 10 publishers, I think it's like 3% is yeah. the market share that we all are splitting. And it's like 100 publishers are splitting 3%.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like, I'm not going to lie to myself and think people are flocking to comic shops to buy alternative books. I mean, that's definitely not the case. We do have a couple people that are going to comic shops again for the first time in a couple of years for our books, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's Marvel and DC that brings people into stores.
Yeah.
And just from speaking from a personal experience, I mean, I've been in like 20, 25 shops, just doing signings and things like that. And I've never been in a shop that's not Free Comic Book Day. Free Comic Book Day is usually mobbed, but yeah. if it's just the average Wednesday, I see maybe 15 people come in the store and I'm there for like 7-8 hours.
That's really interesting.
You know, I mean, that's something that if Marvel and DC were hitting it on all cylinders, it'd be like what it was when comics were at their height, which yeah. is what they should be, because comic books are at their height, like at their true height right now. Comic book properties make billions of dollars.
Yeah.
So you have people just, you know, flooding comic shops just to get more comic related stuff
yeah.
and see what else is there. And the fact that that's not happening and that there's this massive disconnect that's going on, and, you know, even something like, you know, Spider-Man hits 100,000 sales. That's like the hit of the month.
Yeah.
And back, you know, 15, 20 years ago, that book is like, yeah, it did all right. You know, that's what you consider.
Yeah.
So even though, you know, people are thinking, well, the 90s and the collector bubble and this and that or whatever, we're kind of doing that again with variant covers.
Yeah.
And we're going down that false collector mentality. I mean, you can see variant covers from 3 or 4 years ago that were going for $50. They go for like $3 now on eBay.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, there's no staying power to the value of those books, because the staying power for any book that's valuable other than rarity was the fact that something important happened in that issue.
Yeah. 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 Like Spider-Man's new black costume or something like that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the key behind why that issue meant something.
Yeah.
Because something happened in it.
Yeah.
But when you get this mentality of, you know, everything is erasable, nothing really lasts, nothing stays, everything gets rebooted, everything doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It makes, well, how do we make these comics worth something? And the only way to do that is to create this kind of, you know, well, here's a limited edition thing, which all it means is that we made a smaller print run.
Yeah.
And, you know, so now it's worth $100. Yeah, but next year, you know what that thing's worth? Probably 20,
yeah.
maybe 10.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how it's been going for about 5 or 6 years now. And it's disturbing to see, because that's not something that's going to help the industry to grow. That's just going to feed its own little bubble again. And once that bubble implodes, what are you left with? You know, yeah. So you got to go to just creating good, impactful, meaningful stories and just sticking with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially at the top, you know, I mean, indie guys, I say it all the time. Indie guys always think, well, it doesn't matter what Marvel and DC do, because I'm doing my own thing. What the hell do they care about me? What do I care about them?
Yeah.
But the thing is that Marvel and DC are the ones that bring the business. So they're the ones that the comic shop can make business off of, which then in turn gives them that extra cash to try out indie books and yeah. stock their store with other things and take chances and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, when Marvel and DC are hurting, it's everyone thinks, oh, well, indie will just take the spot. It's like, no, that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very rare that happens.
Yeah.
you know, even something like The Walking Dead, that's got like 10 million viewers almost every episode. They're not selling 10 million comics, I tell you that.
No,
you know,
definitely not.
It's selling great, and I would be lying if I said that I wouldn't want my comic to be selling as much as The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
But compared to the viewership of the show, comparing that audience into comics, it's not even like a fraction of it. It's not even like 10% of that audience is buying comics. So there's just something that's just amiss, and it's got a big thing to do with the fact that comics are hard to find. Comics are relatively difficult to get into. I mean, you know, if you can't pick up an issue and just automatically understand what's going on, you're not going to buy that issue. Yeah. So just that's it, you know, and it's difficult right now. That's all it is that the storytelling has changed. A lot of it's more towards the people that wait for the trade. But waiting for the trade will kill single issues. So you end up getting a lot of canceled issues because everyone waits for the trade. So there's a whole multiple level of issues that are going on in comics right now. But, you know, it's difficult to re-educate readers and retailers on, because we're trying to break the trend of stuff, but we're little. So we don't have the money to go, well, we'll do a whole big campaign. Every single store will understand what we're talking about and what our books are. And, you know, $100,000 later, you know, and we're out of business.
Yeah.
So it's that thing where we just don't have that at our disposal. And we're trying to utilize social media as much as possible. I'm doing the equivalent of door to door at this point in terms of, you know, email individual retailers, call them up, talk to them on Facebook, establish relationships, see, you know, where they're at, get some feedback. But it's difficult because there's so many of them that are saying the same things, and it's so difficult to hear how many of them are struggling and how much they'd all wish that it was just a different mentality right now in comics. But unfortunately, it's not changing.
Oh, wow. Wow. I mean, because I know that I was speaking to a comic shop owner several years ago when I think Marvel or DC, one of them was like going through some like really bad financial problems. This is obviously way before they were purchased by Disney or whatever. And I remember them being like really stressed out because there were rumors in the wind that like Citibank or something was going to buy some, they were going to put up their characters for like licensing or like for sale, like through Citibank or something. And I want to say it was Marvel. It could have been DC. I do not know. But I remember the guy being like really stressed out because he was saying like, dude, if Marvel goes under, that's it. We're done. They are basically holding this industry up, even though people are like, yeah, indie comics or whatever. These are the two giant gorillas. And if their money goes, then a lot of us are screwed, which seems, you know, to back up what you're saying.
It's true. And the other scary part is that just because, especially with Marvel and Disney, just because they've got the bigger backing at this point also doesn't mean that one day someone at Disney is like, you know what, the comics don't make anything near what an opening weekend on a film makes. Why are we making comics anymore?
Yeah.
You know, you can see someone walk in and say that.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes an issue of, you know, sooner or later, it feels like someone's going to go, well, we can just stick to television and film. These comics are a giant waste of time for us. We're just throwing money out the window with them.
Yeah.
You know, and it becomes, maybe we'll put out a comic, you know, a biannual or an annual or a special edition that goes with a movie, you know, and it becomes just purely a product and no longer a story. You know, right now it seems like comics are a testing ground for a lot of different ideas and are also a buzz factor to create kind of some version of either interest or animosity, whatever it creates. It's like, that's fine for people at that level, as long as it gets people talking about things and then, you know, change a character and then change them back just in time for the movie.
Yeah.
But eventually, you know, it turns into, well, as soon as they realize all we're doing is kind of, you know, possibly taking a loss on these as opposed to just doing a movie or a TV show or a animated series or a new toy line or something that makes more money than comics do. That's it. That's the end of comics. And that's, wow, that's kind of where we're at. It's very high tension right now with the way stuff is, because that's really all it takes. It's just one person to go in there that has a lot of clout and doesn't want to do comics anymore and doesn't see the value in them. And they could just easily do licensing and all that stuff on the characters and that's it, and make tons of money still. Yeah. So, you know, comics selling at 100,000, like I said, you know, you're looking at these things, they're like $4 a piece. So a comic that sells 100,000 is 400 grand. Take like 50% off of that for distribution cut. That's 200 grand, you know, take into print costs and creator costs and this and that. You're probably talking about like $50,000 of profit. So it's like on a really well-selling comic.
Wow.
$50,000 profit to a company that's making billions on film.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, it turns into, we'll see how long we keep these things alive for. And I think that that could turn into the way the trading card industry turned, because that whole thing got really turned up on its own. And that just collapsed.
Wow.
You know, like, so comics could be at that point. That's why we got to branch out and we got to find other places to get comics visible, because we can't just count on comic shops to bear the whole burden of everything.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because you're also starting to see like IDW, and again, with this sort of Spider-Man Digest, I think it was like Archie Comics that sort of like helped them make the deal. But like IDW has been printing like collections of Marvel stuff, like old Marvel stuff. And there's a lot of there have been people complaining online being like, why isn't Marvel publishing this? Why is IDW taking their old stuff? Or like the, what do you call those? The artist editions, those giant like hardcover books with the, you know, it's like, why is IDW doing this? Why isn't Marvel doing this? So, wow, you're really freaking me out. You're kind of depressing me a little, but I don't want to end this interview being depressed on a down note. I want you to talk about what is in the shops now and what is the best way people can get at your books now.
Okay, well, the best way to get at the books right now would be to go to a comic shop. And okay, if they're sold out, which a lot of them are sold out of the books, just talk about them and ask them to put, you know, these books on the pull list for you. They're in previews, the catalog. I don't know. It seems like a lot of people don't know what previews is. It's like a big telephone book.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's if people know what telephone books are still.
Yeah.
So it's got this big section in there for indie comics as well. Alterna's near the front of it because it's alphabetized. So you can just kind of show the shop owner our books and just so, you know, these are the Alterna comics titles I want. And they add them to a pull list, which is basically a subscription service for you. You know, you go to the shop, you pick up your books, you pay for them then, and you get your stuff.
Yeah.
And this way, because a lot of our books are selling out, this way you can get a guaranteed copy. You don't have to worry about, you know, maybe they're not there on New Comic Book Day. Maybe they're all gone.
Yeah.
So people can get our stuff definitely through comic shops. I definitely don't recommend just waiting to see if they pop up on a newsstand, because like I said, it's a test market. It's mostly going to be in areas that don't have comic shops. So if you don't have a comic shop near you, by all means, yes, please go visit and see if you can find them at a Barnes & Noble and things like that. But if you do have a comic shop near you, you know, go to them and give them your business and get our books like that. And if anything, check out what else they have and maybe get some other stuff too.
Yeah, well, it looks like you also have stuff on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Comixology, all those other good channels as well.
Yeah. In terms of graphic novels, if people want to go towards that, because we have some stuff that's not coming to single issue, we have stuff that's just graphic novels. They can go to Amazon. They can also go to their comic shops, but it's a little harder to reorder those things once they're out of the system.
Sure.
But you know, Amazon's there, Barnes and Noble's there, and any place really that carries graphic novels could potentially get our stuff in. But if you're looking for just easy access, Amazon and Barnes and Noble are probably the easiest you're going to find.
Nice.
And so people could find stuff there. And if you're looking for digital, we're on Comixology. We're also on this thing called Hoopla, which is it's free to read. You just got to put a library card into the system.
What?
And you can read like 10 comics a month for free digitally.
Wow.
So we've got a lot of stuff on there. DC has a lot of stuff on there, and so does Image. I think all the Walking Deads are on there and everything. So
wow.
Hoopla's really cool. Yeah, it's completely free. All you need is a library card.
That's cool.
Yeah, and publishers still make money, so it's not like it's not piracy. It's not like it's an illegal site. It's perfectly legal. It's just it's supplemented with advertising. So I don't want anybody to think, oh my God, they're encouraging stealing comics.
No, we don't do that. No, we do not do that. Well, that's great. I mean, I'm very impressed. I'm very amazed with everything that you've told me. I'm so glad that I did this interview with you. I'm so glad that we finally were able to connect. It's been a couple of weeks going back and forth via email. And then somehow your initial email ended up in like my junk folder. I don't know how that happened, but I'm so glad to have spoken with you. It looks like you guys have a couple of events on your website.
Next week, we've got we're doing kind of like a summer tour. We got a double Midnight Comics in Manchester next week. On the, I believe that's what, the 19th.
Nice.
And then on the 26th, we've got Next Gen Comics in Pelham, New Hampshire. And the 29th, we've also got Plastic City Comic Con in Fitchburg, Massachusetts. So we've got a couple things lined up. There's tons of events with all the creators at Alterna. I think there's over 100 creators at Alterna. So there's always something going on every weekend where you can see an Alterna creator or just meet someone at a convention and things like that. So tons of stuff. Check out the site at alternacomics.com.
Yeah.
And you can find everything there.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this, Peter. I really appreciate your time.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. So that has been Peter Cimetti of Alterna Comics. And your website is alternacomics.com, correct?
Yep.
Yep. And my name is Christian Horn, and this has been another episode of Part-Time Fanboy. Thank you so much for coming on. I mean, I really do appreciate it. I appreciate your time. I'm definitely going to seek out your books at my local comic shop, and I can't wait to, sink my teeth into them.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you don't like any of them, let me know. If you do like them, let me know. But either way, you know, if you don't really fall in love with a book, it's $1.50.
So. Yeah, exactly. It's not the shirt off your back anymore. It's it's not the $5 book that's going to break you. But thank you, Peter. I really appreciate your time. And thank you for coming on to Part-Time Fanboy. Thank you for everyone who's listening. And, check out our website, parttimefanboy.com. We are on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, all that good stuff. Thanks for listening. And we will be back soon with another episode. Bye.
Part-time. Oh, yeah, doing part-time.